Greetings, my dearest tribe of Gaia. I am Solara Anra, warrior of the light. I think I have always waited to say, live from Egypt. So I am here with some of my tribe in Egypt. I was guided to bring a bigger group than usual on my trips, whereas usually I would have 22 of us on a sacred trip. We are 33 on this journey. And on the first day, we were told that more of us were needed to hold the amount of light which is necessary to transmute the energies in some of the places that we are visiting. Which doesn't mean that the energies are going to be so dark and intimidating that all of us are needed in order to fight this big fight. What it means is that between us, we are holding so much light that the dark flees in fear of us. And on the occasion of this live broadcast, I'm in my hotel room, and I invited anyone from the tribe of 33 to be with me. Everybody is absolutely exhausted because we were on a train from hell last night. I was told that we were on the first class train with reclining seats, and we'd be in separate cabins with six people in each, and it sounded fine. And the train we were on was on the level, I would say, of a cattle train. It was extremely dirty. The toilets were such that I saw one of my tribe going to have a wee with plastic bags on each of her hands. And nevertheless, we managed to draw so much light into that train because it was so uncomfortable. There was hardly any opportunity to sleep. And so we sang. Some people did a Reiki train. I wasn't there for that, but I think that they stood down the corridor of the train doing Reiki on each other, telling jokes, watching the movie Avatar in the one compartment on an iPad, and basically raising our vibration regardless of the circumstance. Because we've hardly had any sleep, many people aren't in the room tonight, and we've just counted as it's 10 p.m. over here. And there are, of course, on this day of 11-11 frequency, 11 of us in this room, as everything is always perfect. It's the 11th of January, 2011, which means that it's the 11th of the 1st of the year 11, which makes an 11-11 vibration, which makes this energy a gateway or portal energy in which this show is being transmitted. The theme of the show tonight is remembering our Egyptian lifetimes. My guides are going to speak on three aspects of this, and you can call in with your questions on any aspects. So call in at any time, and Doug from the BBS, who is our BBS angel tonight, will line up your questions and let me know that you are there. The first aspect is how the powerful Egyptian frequencies are still available to us today. My guides are going to speak on that. The second aspect is why so many of us on Earth today have had lives in ancient Egypt. Many of you have been told this. You've accessed your Egyptian lifetimes yourselves. Some of these lifetimes are negative and some are positive, which causes your reaction to being in the land of Kem, the land of Egypt, to be different when you are here. And my guides are going to speak about that. And the third aspect is how the mystery schools of ancient Egypt are still with us in a different form. That form has changed as we are no longer in the position to have official mystery schools. They were taken over by our religious institutions, which have been very effective in separating many people and many tribes and moving them into fear and a perception of God as an authority figure outside of ourselves. The ancient mystery schools are entirely different than this, and we are helping them to re-emerge through our empowerment and through the ways we are learning and teaching. So I'm first of all going to get you to feel the energy of my Egyptian light tribe here. They're going to do an om for you now. And within this om, we are opening our hearts and we're bringing a frequency of love and power to you across the airwaves, whether you are listening live in this moment or through the archives. Breathing in. For the highest guidance possible to flow through me now, to illuminate us on our ancient Egyptian lifetimes and on ancient Egypt in general, and how our opening awareness and knowledge of it may assist us in this time, right here, right now. Councils of light, stream their energy towards you, dear light tribe of planet Terra. We access you more effectively through the energy of Chem. Chem or Kemet, as Egypt was known in the ancient times. Not so ancient in our terms of remembering, but certainly ancient from your point of view, where your perception of what is long or short in the timeline is according to how long you are able to live, so that you consider 100 years a long time, whereas it is simply a drop in the ocean of time. We enjoy your phrasing, Salara Anra, regarding your request for information on the land of Chem and lifetimes which so many of you have experienced in one or more incarnation at that time. For your phrasing reflects that you wish this knowledge to be useful to you now, rather than as your historians and history books would make the past simply a recording of facts, often which is encompassing a judgment between your level of society and technology and religion now, and one which, because it is perceived in the past, must therefore obviously be lesser or inferior. Light tribe laughs in the face of this concept, do you not? Understanding the times of Atlantis, of Lemuria, and of Chem, and how far superior
that technology was in every way. This is not simply lack of understanding which has led history to be taught to you in this way. It is conscious manipulation and suppression. It is constant, conscious disempowerment of your tribe, which has been the way between those who have held the power on terror. And this is past. Their time of power is over. And you must not allow yourselves to believe any of the pitiful rationalizations and tales of the great slave force which erected the Great Pyramid and the beautiful temples of power down the great river of Kham. These were erected using sound and light technology. And there was, too, some use of crystals, but not as much as in the previous civilizations of Atlantis and Lemuria. There were ascended masters, Thoth among them, who erected these temples in ways which you would consider magic. For you, if on the earth plane, would have been able to witness them materializing in physical form before your eyes. You have been seeded on Earth in certain key periods in order to bring your increasing light quotient onto the Earth plane at a time when it is floundering. You witness the floundering now, do you not? By this we mean an earth period of time in which the masses are disconnected from their light bodies, in which the children are no longer taught the ways of the wise one. In which technology has been abused rather than used for the highest good of all. These are the time of the floundering of humanity. And you return now to remember in your bodies, in your cells, in your ways of being, how to reconnect yourselves and your tribe. And it is urgent. And it is for this reason that we speak to you about your lifetimes in ancient Egypt. At this time, most of you were in the priest or priesthoods or training in some way within the mystery schools. These were open only to those who were deemed pure enough, light enough of heart, and indeed the myths of Ma'at, in which the heart or soul was measured against the weight of a feather to determine whether you were light of being or heavy of being. This is one of the stories which is inaccurately thought only to represent the judgment after passing from the physical. For indeed, there were many levels of initiation in which you were judged, not by how much knowledge you had accumulated and how many answers you had written on your exam papers which had received ticks. No, you were judged by the amount of light held in your light body and by the state of your heart chakra, for only those pure in heart and high in energy were allowed to move to the further stage of learning. And this was the system within the mystery schools which assured that those who attained spiritual powers of great note were ones of integrity and ones who had chosen to work for the tribe. You now remember these ways as you are in your earth bodies now. You remember also times that were painful in this lifetime and others. And this brings fear up within you about what occurs now on earth. Thus it is that our theme is so often regarding fearlessness, for it is necessary for you to be fearless in order to be of greatest service to your tribe now. So I'm going to ask my light tribe who are with me in the room if anyone has a question right now. So I have a question on why it is that some of us on this trip, perhaps in Egypt for the first time, are experiencing from the moment of landing joy and feelings of being at home and being really grounded into the soil here. Whereas others of us, and I must include myself in this, perceive a sense of challenges from the minute we walk upon the soil. Egypt is a land of great contrasts, and one of the challenges on a very practical level that come from being here is that you get hassled mercilessly. You get hassled to accept camel rides, to buy goods, to marry strange men. Imagine that after speaking only the words, "You have beautiful eyes," you might already be tempted to marry them and take them away from their life of poverty to whatever country you're living in. And the level of hassle that you can get, even with a group, is very intimidating for some. I found it very challenging when I was here in 2008, in particular, on my own. And I found many aspects of being in Egypt challenging. And it's very different from the one extreme to the other. And my guides hinted the other day that they would explain why this was so. You know, an obvious reason would be you had very difficult lifetimes in ancient Egypt, and therefore memories and feelings of this reemerge when you're here, and vice versa. You had really amazing lifetimes or a lifetime in Egypt, and therefore it just feels like coming home again. So I'm asking my guides for guidance about this. And any of you, if you have questions, you can phone in to Doug at this point. Let us start at home, Salara Anra. We will speak to you personally. In your case, it is not only about the lifetimes which you have experienced here, and there have been three which have been challenging. There is also the matter that you hold sufficient light at the moment and sufficient power to attract the Tribe of Light to yourself and therefore to the places that you visit, that you attract attention from the dark. There are forces which linger in Egypt, which remain from the time of the fall, the great fall. At the time of the fall, there was catastrophe on earth in the form of floods and earthquakes, which brought pain, devastation, and destruction, yes. But there was even greater emotional pain for those such as yourself who had worked for so long and with such energy, commitment, and enthusiasm, and bringing your tribe up to a certain level of evolution. And the pain of knowing that so many of these must now be reborn in order to start the cycle again. And the knowledge that the light quotient on Terra would once again drop to such a level that the star beings, angelic ones, and great masters of the heavenly stars must once again start from scratch as such. There is this emotional pain which resurfaces, which is not only about yourself, but about your tribe. And so as you have desired that this illumination is one which causes healing to come, then let it be so, having realized where this pain has come from. You may simply namaste the pain and the situation of old as such. You may greet it, acknowledge it with love, and transmute it with the violet flame, that it may become light within your memory banks rather than dark. Many of you who access pain through your remembering of ancient Egyptian lifetimes, we would ask you to do the same. Let us say that it is known, as it is with Salara Anra, that in one of your lifetimes you were a great healer here, a healer of great note and great power. And that with this power came the ability to abuse and use the power for means that were less than light. All that is necessary within the acknowledgement of this is that you greet this knowledge with love and acceptance, and you draw the violet flame of Saint Germain through your memory banks, transmuting this memory and knowledge of the past into light within your brain cells, so that it may assist you rather than haunt you as such. You have been encouraged to hold on to your pain. In some way it can be comforting, can it not? To cuddle and baby your pain, to hold it in your arms and take it with you to bed like a teddy bear. Ah, my pain, my pain. And in some way it is a comfort to you. You have been programmed this way, to hold on to your pain. It is, in some way, a nurturing of your ego self. It makes you feel important. And certainly, memories and knowledge of your past lives is often brought into the realm of ego. For you feel important, do you not, in the knowledge of these old lifetimes? In truth, the most humble of past lifetimes may be the one in which your evolutionary spiral was the greatest. I have another question from a lady in New Jersey. Her name is Lydia. And she asks how to use the ancient Egyptian frequencies if they are still available to us, and if it is possible to do this from a distance, not visiting Egypt. And she mentions in particular the frequency of Isis. I'm very happy to answer this question because we are visiting the Temple of Isis tomorrow morning at the crack of dawn. I have been guided to do an initiation into the energies of Isis in this temple, and to receive an initiation as well from one of my tribe of light here. I haven't been to the Temple of Isis before, and my guides have a lot to say about it and about Isis in general. And sometimes I am able to channel one of these archetypal frequencies, so the archetypal goddess energy of Isis. So we'll see what comes. I ask for the highest guidance on this. The answer is no. Not all of these powerful frequencies are available to everyone, whether in the country or not. We will first say that if you are able to access one of these frequencies, then it is easier in the land and in certain of the temples themselves. It is not impossible to access these frequencies outside of the land, but we would say that perhaps on a percentage level, it is 70% easier to access them when in the land and in particular temples that relate to those frequencies. This has not to do only with whether your vibration is high or low, whether you are powerful in light terms, in spiritual terms, or not. It is simply that some of you resonate more with one frequency than another. Some of you have nothing whatsoever in common, for instance, with a Hathor frequency or with a Ma'at frequency. And certainly within this range of archetypal Egyptian frequencies, the Isis is one which more of you have in common within your vibration than any others. I ask if it is. I'm asking firstly, who is speaking? We are Pleiadian and Hathor combined in the frequency which answers you now. I ask if
I am able to channel the energy of Isis right now. And this is Pleiadian archangels who are assisting me in channeling this energy. I'm not sure if that will go straight into the energy itself. Sisters of Isis, sisters of Isis, many of you listen to this message. Listen to and resonate with the frequency of the great wings and the beauty of the Cleopatra type Isis energy. And many of you who are called sisters of Isis are male now in this incarnation. And those of you who suspect that this is true, if you close your eyes and open your hearts, you will feel that this is true. Speak to you, Lydia, who is indeed of Isis frequency. We speak to you. The way in which the Isis energy can assist you now is with your children. She, great mother and spiritual leader combined, shows the way forth for those of you who have chosen to be homemakers and yet who also have the ability to be leaders in your tribe. I say to you, dear ones who hear this message, that it is necessary for you to activate this other strand within this lifetime, to activate your leadership qualities, to activate your ability to draw light tribe towards yourself, and to hold yourself in a position of dignity where you love and respect yourself and step into your power. As you do this, you do not neglect your little ones. Although you may indeed spend less physical time with them in order to activate your role as a leader, you show your young how to step into power and integrity and light, and how to be of service. If mothers are only in service to their children and not in service to themselves, never mind being in service to the larger world, then how are the young ones to understand how to step into their power? How are they to understand? One of the disempowerments which have been seeded within the female of your race is that once a mother, one's duty is to be mother only and to give up more all else. And that the more you give up, the better a mother you will be. This is simply not the case. Children need love. They need your support. They need your wisdom. But they do not need your 24-hour assistance and coddling, for it makes them claustrophobic. It makes them rebel against you, for they perceive you as their boxes of confinement. They perceive that you are the ones that put the bars of the jail of confinement around them. In all times in which there were wisdom ways and mystery schools, it was understood that the children must be looked after by a group of high vibrational beings with different skills and gifts to impart in love to these ones. But in your society, they grow up with rules, 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 and more rules. Do not do this. Do not say that. Do not touch that. Do not wear that. Do not express yourself truthfully, for it will be offensive. Would it not be better if you chose others of high vibrational frequency to nurture your young along with you? And would it not be better if your young ones saw you, their mothers, stepping into their own power, that they may learn how to do this too? So, I kind of forgot your original question there, but you've certainly been told that you hold the Isis vibration, and I get a lot of information behind the stuff that I'm actually channeling from my guides. So I'm going to explain in my own terms what I perceive has been said so far. I was quite surprised when they just said flat out at the beginning, no, not everybody is able to access Egyptian frequencies. Now, from my point of view, I certainly wouldn't be able to channel Hathor or Isis or Amun-Ra frequencies when I first started channeling. It wasn't possible for me. They're not personality selves. Their energy is very powerful, and it would have blown my circuits at the time. Even now, I am only able to channel them when I'm in a certain state or where I'm in a place where I'm being assisted by the vibration of the place. And there is absolutely no question from my previous experience in the Great Pyramid and in the different temples in Egypt that the actual stones of the buildings still resonate with the frequencies of these god and goddess archetypal forces which have been worshipped there and which have been present there. And when I say worship, I do not mean as our civilization will perceive that civilizations before us worshipped idols, and that that was a rather foolish thing to do, that they were actually prostrating themselves before statues and images of these gods and goddesses. It simply isn't the case. Each one of these gods and goddesses held and represented an element of the god-goddess force in its highest form, such as compassion, such as abundance or fertility. Isis, as she was saying, represented this dual personality of mother and homemaker, and a very, very good and diligent one. She was an incredibly beautiful Cleopatra-type, sexy goddess personality, who was attractive to men and women alike, who was dignified and regal, completely in her power and in respect of herself. And she held her that way, herself that way, while being an incredible loving mother and wife and a leader of the tribe. And that was the message that she was passing on to Lydia. So I'm asking my tribe who are present with me again, if any of them have a question, even if it's a personal question.
I'm asking about the vision I got today of me and a fellow priestess having light come into our heart, giving each other our heart energy.
So I'm going to stop Jana while I get the first bit of the question in case you can't hear. Jana, one of our light tribe here, had a vision today about herself and a goddess figure. And a fellow priestess from a past life. And what was the vision about?
It was about we were standing opposite each other with and sending each other heart energy was coming out of our body on the backside, entering our neck in the backside, and coming out of our third eye on the fourth side, coiling around each other and forming two cobras facing each other.
So this amazing vision that Jana has had with one of her fellow priests or priestesses, where they are very close to each other, and there's an energy which is moving through the front and back portals of the heart chakra, coming outside of the body, and then entering in the back portal of the third eye, Ajna, which is at the medulla oblongata, where the head meets the neck, and coming out the front portal of the third eye, which is the third eye between the brows, and then twisting like two snakes, twisting, joining each other. And you'll often see the Egyptian gods and goddesses and priests and priestesses with headdresses on, where the cobra or snake comes out the front of it and raises its head up. They're not necessarily twisted together. So I'm asking about the relevance of that image. And I have a change of guides now.
Amun Ra comes to answer your question. You speak of energy lines of activation between what you call your heart and third eye centers. This type of activation was used within the priesthood and mystery schools and was affected by the use of healing rods. Many of you understand the metal and crystalline Egyptian healing rods, which were used to activate certain chakras one with another. These healing rods may be used by you in this time, dear one. This is part of the purpose of your questioning. The healing rods use the combination of metallurgy and crystal mastery. The explanation given when purchasing these rods in modern times is not always accurate. It is not purposefully misleading. We simply say that you will choose the correct ones according to the metals and crystals used in them, and you will be guided. You will be guided. You will be guided on how to use these. The memory which you access is indeed a true memory, but the one that you picture in this lifetime is not the one who was with you at that time. The one in this lifetime simply reminds you on a frequency level of the priest. I'm just checking that it was a priest or priestess. It was a priest. Of the priest in the temple. And now it's being made clear that this actually moved in, not into the Amun-Ra frequency, but this was a priest whose care that you were under, who was speaking, who is connected with the Amun-Ra frequency, who was reminding you about something that happened in a temple, and he's saying that on some level you need to wait for several other things to unfold before you can use the information in that vision effectively. Just hold on to it, record it, write it down. Make a note of the fact that if you choose to, you can use Egyptian healing rods in this lifetime and that you'll be guided in exactly how to use them. And all the pieces of the puzzle will fit together in the perfect time. So I'm going to stop the questions now, as I just want to say briefly that yesterday we had the most mind-blowing day imaginable. The 33 of us entered the Great Pyramid at 4 a.m., having been prepared by an initiation into the order of Melchizedek on the day before, which happened spontaneously when I was channeling, and we were just in the garden of a hotel and we paired up with each other and went through a very simple initiation using an Egyptian oil. Each one of us in turn placing a finger with that oil on the third eye of the other person. And with a very simple invocation, we initiated each other into this order. The beginning of this invocation took me by surprise. It went, "You are worthy." And it continued, "Dear child, of holding light and passing this light on in the name of the order of Melchizedek."
in service to the divine plan for Gaia. But these were roughly the words that were used. And this simple initiation ran straight through the hearts, minds, and beings of every one of us. Some people with very little experience of spiritual phenomenon. And what unfolded as we went into the king's chamber and had private time there, we had private entrance, so we were totally free to do what we wanted. With hardly any orchestration on my part, we just turned into priests and priestesses. We were dressed in white. Everybody had their own role. They either lit candles, put crystals in certain places, assisted people who wanted to enter the sarcophagus, and toned, brought healing into the place, did a violet flame initiation. It was the most wonderful experience that I've ever had, and it happened with hardly any planning. The main preparation was simply placing ourselves in as high and clear a vibrational state as possible and with our hearts as open as possible. And I wanted to speak of it not to make you jealous that you weren't there or to talk about what amazing things we're doing here when you're not with us, but just to describe the sense of total awe and wonderment in me at what is happening as I move forward on my path in total commitment to be of service to you, to us, our tribe, is that everything unfolds in the most magical way imaginable. And thinking of the message of Isis, the reason that things unfold in such a powerful and wonderful way in the groups that I hold the space for is that I ask everyone to step into their power. I ask for them to speak the guidance that comes through them. I ask for them to be the highest version that they can possibly be. And almost instantly, that is manifested. So this was a group of people, some of whom I hadn't met before. A lot of them had never met each other before. And this was the second day of our trip in Egypt. And it's so, when past my wildest expectations of how it would be in the king's chamber, that my heart is just filled with love and gratitude. I want to say thank you to all those of you who have radiated your love and support towards me and towards the tribe since you saw the YouTube that I did the day before I started the course. I've received so much love and support from you. And of course, that wasn't my intention in putting the YouTube up. I was just guided to write, this is a little message. I think it might help some people. This is a way of spreading light. My tribe isn't here yet. My course hasn't started. I'm going to put it up. My intention is to spread light, right? And I put up the YouTube. And what I get is this massive wave of love and support back. And I truly do believe that that has assisted my light tribe and myself. So I stream my loving energy towards you now. I really hope that my words and the words of my guides and of Isis that have come through on this evening are of assistance to you. I'm going to say namaste to you with the other 10, which make up the 11 that are with me right now. Namaste. We end this transmission with an om of love to you, all of those listening. I would like you to om with us, please. Breathe in deeply. Next week, Anrita Melchizedek will be hosting her show, Keys to Self, Ascension Keys to Self-Mastery. And the week after that, when my show usually is, I will have Anrita as my guest on the show. And I'm very privileged to have her on my guest for this show, in which we are teaching how to use chambers of light in your healing work with others, and also for your own healing and integration. The chambers of light are used by different star beings. And Anrita is very knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than myself on the chambers of light, so I'm absolutely thrilled to have her. I love it when she does one of her guided invocations or one of her teachings, and then my guides chip in and comment on it. And you get these two completely different energies combining in our teaching of the same subject. So it will be magical. And I'm looking forward to connecting energetically with you then, my dearest tribe. Great love and thanks. Namaste.